Hello, this is Randy J. Barmore speaking once again. In our fourth session, we will discuss Age of the Earth Part 3. There is a lot of proofs that the Earth is young, and I'm hardly covering any of them. Like, practically everything is a proof of creation, sorry. Practically everything is a proof that evolution is untrue, too. Alright, next we shall consider evidence from civilization that the Earth is quite young. 51. Historical records. If mankind has been living and working on planet Earth for millions of years, why do we find records of man only dating back to about 2000 to 3500 BC? And these records, when found, reveal the existence of highly developed civilizations. As it's shown more in Chapter 13 of the Evolution Handbook, Ancient Man, the writings, language, and cultures of ancient mankind started off fully developed, but are not found to have begun until about 2000 to 3000 BC. Okay, 1. Early Egyptian records. The earliest historical books are those of the Egyptians and the Hebrews. The historical dates assigned to the beginnings of Egyptian and Sumerian history are based primarily on king lists. The earliest records are the Egyptian king list, dating from about the first dynasty in Egypt, between 3200 and 3600 BC. But internal and external evidence indicates that these dates should be lowered. An Egyptologist writes, We think that the first dynasty in Egypt began not before 3400 and not much later than 3200 BC. A. Schwarf, however, would bring the date down to 3000 BC, and it must be admitted that his arguments are good. And that, at any rate, it is more probable that the date of the first dynasty is later than 3400 BC rather than earlier. That's by H.R. Hall, Egypt Archaeology, Encyclopedia Britannica, 1956 edition, volume 8, page 37. Okay, the problem with first dynasty dates is they are based on the king list of Manetho, an Egyptian priest who lived many centuries later in 250 BC. Manetho's writings have only been preserved in a few inaccurate quotations in other ancient writings. Barton of the University of Pennsylvania points out the problem here in Archaeology in the Bible, page 11. The number of years assigned to each Egyptian king, and consequently the length of time covered by the dynasties, differ in these two copies, so that while the work of Manetho forms the backbone of our chronology, it gives us no absolutely reliable chronology. Confusion in regard to Egyptian dating has continued on down to the present time. Johann Lamont in the Hittites, 1977, page 204, says, in the course of a single century's research, the earliest date in Egyptian history, that of Egyptians' unification under King Menes, first king of the first dynasty, Egyptian dynasty, has plummeted about 5876 to 2900 BC, and not even the latter year has been established beyond doubt. Do we in fact have any firm dates at all? Okay, unquote from Johann Lamont. It is difficult to obtain exact clarity when examining ancient Egyptian texts. A number of Egyptologists think that Manetho's list dealt not with a single dynasty, but with two different ones that reigned simultaneously in Upper and Lower Egypt. This would markedly reduce the Manetho dates. Manetho's king lists give us dates that are older than that of any other dating record anywhere in the world, but there are a number of scholars who believe that. One, the list deal with two simultaneously reigning sets of kings. 2, that they are not numerically accurate. And 3, that Manetho fabricated names, events, numbers, and history, as did many Egyptian pharaohs and historians, in order to magnify the greatness of Egypt or certain rulers. For example, it was well known among archaeologists and Egyptologists that ancient Egyptian records exaggerated victories while never mentioning defeats. The Egyptians had a center of the universe attitude about themselves, and they repeatedly colored and falsified historical reporting in order to make themselves look better than other nations around them. In contrast, it is highly significant that well-authenticated Egyptian dates only go back to 1600 BC. Experts trying to unravel Egyptian dating problems have come to that conclusion. Henry Morris, W.W. Borden, and R.F. Koontz in Science and Creation, 1971, page 85, says, Frederick Johnson, co-worker with Dr. Libby in the development of and research into radiocarbon dating, cites the General Correspondence Agreement of radiocarbon dates to the known ages of various samples taken from tombs, temples, or palaces out of the historical past. Well-authenticated dates are known only far as back to 1600 BC in Egyptian history, according to John G. Reed in Journal of Near Eastern Near Eastern Studies, 29, number 1, 1970. Thus, the meaning of dates by carbon-14 prior to 1600 BC is still yet controversial. Because cosmologists, chronologists, historians, and archaeologists heavily rely on Egyptian dates for their theories, Egyptian dating has become very important in dating the ancient world and thus quite influential. This is because it purports to provide us with the earliest historical dates. There is evidence available that would definitely lower archaeological dates and bring them into line with biblical chronology. Two, the Sumerians. The Sumerians were the first people with written records in the region of Greater Babylonia. Their earliest dates present us with the same problems that we find with Egyptian dates. S.N. Kramer, an expert in ancient Near Eastern civilization, comments in Science of America, October 1957, page 72, the dates of Sumer's early history have always been surrounded with uncertainty. 52, early biblical records. The Bible is valid history and should not be discounted in any scientific effort to determine dates of earlier events. The Bible has consistently been verified by authentic historical and archaeological research. It is controversially considered that the first books of the Bible were written by Moses from 1510 to 1450 BC. The date of Exodus would be about 1492 BC. Columbus was not alive but then, by the way. Chronological data in the book of Genesis would indicate that creation week occurred about 4000 BC and that the date of the flood was about 2348 BC. Some may see a problem with such a date for the Genesis flood, but we are dealing with dates that are quite ancient. The flood may have occurred at a somewhat earlier time, but it may also be that the earliest known secular dates would be lower somewhat, which is probably the case here. It is well to remember that in seeking to corroborate ancient dates, we can never have total uncertainty about the past from secular records as we find in Egypt and Sumer. Sorry about that. 53, astronomical records. Throughout ancient historical writings, from time to time, scholars come across comments about astronomical events, especially total or almost total solar eclipses. These are much more accurate time dating factors. Because of the infrequency of solar eclipses at any given location, and because astronomers can date every eclipse going back thousands of years, a mention of a solar eclipse in an ancient tablet or manuscript is an extremely important find. A solar eclipse is strong evidence for the dating of an event when ancient records can probably corroborate it. We can understand why the ancients would mention solar eclipses since, as such rare events, they involve the blotting out of the sun for a short time in the area of umbra, the completely dark inner part of the shadow cast on the earth when the moon covers the sun. Yet prior to 2250 BC, we have not one record of a solar eclipse ever having been seen by people. This is a very important item of evidence established a young age for the earth. Ralph Linton, in The Theory of Culture, 1955, page 520, says, "The earliest Chinese date which can be assigned with any probability is 2250 BC, based on an astronomical reference in the Book of History." 54. Writing. The oldest writing is pictographic Sumerian inscribed on tablets in the Near East. The oldest of these tablets have been dated at about 3500 BC and were found in the Sumerian Temple of Mana. The earliest Western-type script was the Proto-Sinaitic, which appeared in the Sinai Peninsula about 1550 BC. This was the forerunner of our Indo-Aryan script, from which descended our present alphabet. 50. Civilizations. It is highly significant that no truly verified archaeological datings predate the period of about 3000 BC. When larger dates are cited, they come from radiocarbon dating, from methods other than written human records, or from the suspect Manetho's Egyptian king list. 56. Languages. Mankind is so intelligent that languages are soon put into written records, which were left lying about on the surface of the earth. We know that differences in dialect and language suddenly developed shortly after the flood, at which men separated and traveled off in groups whose members could understand one another. Genesis 11:1-9. The records of ancient languages never go back beyond 3000 BC. Philological and linguistic studies reveal that a majority of them are part of a large language families, and most of them appear to radiate outward from the area of Babylonia. For example, the Japhetic peoples listed in Genesis 10 traveled to Europe and India, where they became the so-called Aryan peoples. These are what we call today the Indo-European language family. Recent linguistic studies reveal that these languages originated at a common center in southeastern Europe on the Baltic. This would be close to the Ararat range. Paul Fiem in the Sanskrit and Comparative Philology expert at Yale University gives this estimate in the Indo-European Language in Scientific American, October of 1958, page 74. Indo-European, I conjecture, was spoken on the Baltic coast of Germany late in the 4th millennium BC, 3000 BC. 57. Population statistics. Our present population explosion is especially the result of improved sanitary conditions at childbirth and thereafter. In earlier centuries, many more children died before the age of 3. It is thought that the period between 1650 and 1850 would be a typical time span to analyze population growth prior to our present century, with its many technological advantages. One estimate based on population changes between 1650 and 1850 provides us with the fact that about the year 3300 BC, there was only one family. Ariel A. Roth, summary from Some Questions About Geochronology and Origins, volume 13, number 2, 1886, page 59-60, says, the human population grows so rapidly that its present size could have reached in less than 1%, 3,200 years, of the minimum time assumed, 500,000 years, for man on the basis of radiometric dating. The rate of world population growth has varied greatly throughout history as a result of such things as pestilences, famines, wars and catastrophes, floods, volcanoes, earthquakes, and fires. But with all this in mind, estimates generally focus on 300 million as the population of the Earth at the time of Christ. Based on small-sized families from the time of the flood, 2300 BC, to the time of Christ, the population by that time would have been about 300 million people. If, in contrast, the human race had been on Earth for 1 million years, as the evolutionists declare, even with a very low rate of 0.01% annually, the resulting population by the time of Christ would be 2x 10 to the 43rd power people. 2x to the 10 to the 43rd power is the numeral 2, followed by 43 zeros. Wow, that's a big number. 1,000 solar systems with 9 planets like ours could barely hold that many people, packed in solid. 58. Facts versus theories. In 1862, Thompson said that the Earth was 220 million years old. 35 years later, in 1897, he doubled it to 40 million. 2 years later, Jay Jolly said it was 90 million. Raleigh, in 1921, said the Earth has been here for 1 billion years. 11 years later, W.O. Hotchkiss moved the figure up to 1.6 billion. A. Holmes, in 1947, declared it to be 3.35 billion. And in 1956, he raised it to 4.5 billion. Just now, the age of the Earth stands at about 5 billion years. Pretty soon, someone will raise it again. Trust me. Men dream up theories and then call it science. Michael Pittman, Adam and Evolution, 1984, page 235 says, these dates for the age of the Earth have changed, doubling on average every 15 years, from about 4 million years in Lord Kelvin's day to 4,500 million now. Henry Morris, W.W. Boardman, and R.F. Kuntz, Science and Creation, 1971, page 74. They say, Dr. A.E.G. Engel, professor of the California Institute of Technology, comments that the age for the Earth accepted by most geologists rose from a value of about 50 million years in 1900 to about 5 billion years by 1960. He suggests facetiously that if we could just relax and wait another decade, the Earth may not be 4.5 to 5 aeons, aeon is a billion years, as now suggested, but some 6 to 8 or even 10 aeons in age. Those long ages were assigned primarily because of a 19th century theory about rock strata and supposedly confirmed by radioactive dating. In this, the young Earth evidence is powerful, as discussed in my three parts, Age of the Earth. So, you evolutionists, I bet you're still going to believe evolution, even though I disproved when your greatest so-called fossils tough luck that it had to be disproved wrong. And I proved every point that Vance Farrell gives in the Evolution Handbook. I gave 51 evidences why the Earth is young. Or 52, I forgot. But a few, okay? 58, I forgot. So I'm going to keep on talking about evolution. And maybe by the end, maybe, just maybe, you think maybe there's a God somewhere out there? Well, I sure hope so. I know this was kind of a short part, but last time was long, and that made up for it. Okay, I'm not sure what I'm going to say next time, but... evolutionists, just listen to what I say. Give us a chance. You say we're liars no matter what we say. Just give us a chance, okay? This is Randy J. Barmore speaking.